20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find me, of course, 365 days a year right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We made it. It is day one of training camp. We have waited for what feels like forever, for so incredibly long, just for there to be mostly real Packers football again. This is still day one of training camp. No pads. We'll go over that in just a moment as well. It doesn't matter. It still feels absolutely incredible. I hope your day is kicking off well. I hope you are as excited as I am. Of course, I'll be out there at training camp, tweeting away, getting those Twitter fingers fired up for my seventh year covering the team, which feels absolutely crazy to say at this point. But yeah, it's going to be an epic day out at 1265, or I guess at the Don Hutson Center and Nitschke Field and all of that, whatever. You know, you get my point. Just being out there back at the practice field, seeing all these guys practicing, it's going to be absolutely epic. I cannot wait. And again, I hope you guys, I know you guys are as excited as I am. So we've got a lot to go over today. Today, we're going to be previewing everything from a Packers training camp standpoint, the things I'm going to be keeping an eye on, some news, some notes, some updates, all that sort of stuff. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get there, shout out to Tom Liking for becoming a all new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. We're just kicking off the season, right? Training camp starts today. We've got preseason, of course, a full training camp, family night. And then from there, we're going to get right into cutdowns and the regular season. And this whole thing is going to fly by before you know it. But now is such a great time to become a Pack-A-Day Podcast member. If you've not done so yet, check those out over on YouTube. Just a couple of like PSAs here for our, the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the channel, etc. First of all, make sure that you are subscribed to the YouTube channel, because there is going to be a ton of content that's going to be coming out during the course of training camp. We are going to be doing live shows. We are going to be doing training camp updates. Of course, our normal daily episodes. There's going to be a lot going on. You're going to want to make sure that you are, number one, subscribed, but number two, getting those alerts turned on as well. So every time a new piece of content, a new episode, a new live show is out there, you're going to be notified of it right away. So make sure to hit that little bell and get those notifications. Of course, if you're listening on the audio side, make sure that you are getting those automatic downloads in as well. As far as a training camp cadence, right? My expectation, I have the Pack-A-Day radio show in the morning from 8 to 9 a.m. If you're not checking that out, make sure to do that as well. And then Matt LaFleur, today, as you're listening to this, we have Goody at 9:20. I'm going to cut out of the radio show early so I can go do Goody's press conference. But then most days, it's going to be Matt LaFleur at 9:50, training camp at 10:30. Practice will go on. As soon as training camp is done, I will be driving here back home. And it usually takes me about 25 minutes, a little bit less than that, to get from Lambeau to, you know, my humble abode here in the, you know, Casa Pack-A-Day. And as soon as I get home, I'm going to throw some notes together. And then I'm going to be doing that live episode, immediately recapping everything that I saw, like my gut reactions to training camp, right? And then the following day, you'll get the full update of everything you need to know from the previous day's training camp. So we'll do the live show immediately as soon as it's over, and then the full longer episode on everything that happened from A to Z, again, from the previous day's training camp. So that's going to kind of be your cadence. Ross Uglum's going to be popping in with some extra episodes. We'll be doing some YouTube shorts and things like that as well. So keep an eye on all that. And again, audio cadence will remain the same. As soon as that live show is done, I'll be uploading the audio file to the audio channel as well. And then, of course, daily episodes for myself and everyone else on the team. Also, putting a lot more time, effort, and energy into the TikTok channel. So go follow Pack-A-Day Podcast over on TikTok, and we're going to be doing a lot more short form content over there over the course of the season. So that is going to be must subscribe. So go check that out over on TikTok. Of course, as I mentioned, Pack-A-Day Radio Show. what I want to mention here is that is now up on YouTube as well. When we usually have great guests every single day. Already this week, we had Ryan Wood on Monday, Paul Brettel on Tuesday, Mike Spofford's coming on this morning on Wednesday, which I'm looking forward to talking to him, Bill Huber on Thursday, and then on Friday, we've got Tyler Brook. So we've got an awesome slate of guests. You can check out all of those interviews on the Packaday Radio Show YouTube channel, so make sure you're checking out that as well. And then the last thing I'll say here, last PSA, Packaday audio channel. All right. If you are not checking out that, if you're just on YouTube, the audio channel has the episodes that I do on the video side, but we have a whole team, 20 plus people that are putting out an additional Packaday podcast every single day. They're phenomenal. And if you're missing those, you are missing out because those are fantastic every single day as well. All right. Enough PSAs. Let's get into our training camp preview and primer. First things first, new locker room for Green Bay. Looks fantastic. If you haven't checked it out yet, the Packers posted numerous videos. Josh Jacobs did a fun video with it. They also have a lot of photos out there of it. Looks fantastic. I'm excited to eventually get in there and see what that looks like. But I'm sure that is going to be a big buzz tomorrow as the media gets access to that for the first time. And again, player availability will be in there as well. So really, really cool. Looks fantastic. Looks amazing. Looks like it is modern and has all the greatest technology in it, but also looks crisp, clean, you know, and still has that Packers tradition feel to it as well. So I love every aspect of it. I think they did a great job of that. Packers also made a transaction on Tuesday. They have a new kicker. This was expected. We talked about this the other day with Justice Mosqueda. We knew one of those spots was going to go to a kicker. It was reported, I believe I want to say it was by Tom Silverstein, but don't quote me on that, that they did not want a, just Brandon McManus doing all the kicking. We wondered if it would be a, just any kicker or if it'd be another international pathway program kicker. It is, in fact, another international pathway program kicker. It is Mark McNamee, who is a former soccer or, European football player, if you will. Here's what Justice Mosqueda got from an international pathway program representative. Quote, "We found him in Ireland playing Gaelic football in the GAA while working full-time in IT. Had been kicking footballs with our kicking coach and for about a year prior to working him out last winter. So transitioning to football was on his mind for some time. Tough kid with a strong leg." We've talked a little bit about international pathway program kicker before and why I actually like how Green Bay is utilizing that. It makes sense for so many reasons. First of all, to find an international player, and it seems more and more, especially with this move, that Elgersma is not eligible. We know he's not eligible, by the way, for the international pathway program. There was some thought that he might be eligible for the exception. It does not seem like that's the case. Otherwise, they just seemingly would have utilized him at this point. So it seems like Elgersma is not eligible for even the exception. We know he's not eligible for international pathway program. But to get in an international pathway program player, use that international exception, and to actually have that eventually amount into something is a really difficult bridge to cross. For some of these international players who have just not played high-level professional football, to get them, like a Kenneth Odemegwu, right? To get them to the point where they're actually ready to play in games is just a really difficult transition and a journey. And how much time, effort, and energy do you want to spend putting in years into that development to maybe get a practice squad level player, right? And the odds that somebody jumps up and, pulls the Jordan Mailata, quite frankly, which is still one of the more incredible stories in the NFL, it just is rare. It's hard. So Green Bay using that international pathway program and that exception on a practice squad kicker, that 17th practice squad spot on a kicker, I really like for a variety of reasons. But most importantly is you really do never want to go into a game without a kicker. It is a real catastrophic situation where extra points become a nightmare, kickoffs become a problem. You know, you're just basically taken out of all field goal opportunities and just made to go for it. And that becomes a real test for coaches and decision making and just a team in any given game. And sometimes a kicker, just like any other player, could come down with an illness the day before, could come up lame the day before. We've seen these issues happen in the NFL. So keeping a kicker on the international pathway program as like a bonus type player that in case of emergency, McManus the day before, again, has some sort of issue, injury, ailment, whatever it might be. And there's concern as to whether or not he might be able to kick the next day. Being able to just call up somebody that's already in your building or is making that flight with you to wherever you're playing, that is a huge potential aspect of having that player on the International Pathway Program and just using that for that exact thing, because you can still call those players up. Even with the exception in the International Pathway Program, you can still call those players up for game day, just like any other practice squad player. And if you all of a sudden need a kicker, I mean, imagine the benefit of actually having that there, because if you don't have one, it's really difficult to get one in the day of and then sign them and get all that paperwork done. And then it really makes it difficult. Plus, you potentially, have to waive somebody else to get... Just it's a logistical nightmare. So having that player on the roster already that can come in and at least give you a kicker, I'm not saying it's one that you want to rely on for big kicks or anything like that, but it does give you that versatility the weekend of games if your kicker does have a emergency type situation. So Mark McNamee, your new kicker and International Pathway Program player. Meanwhile, the other news and notes, Jordan Love came in at number 68 on the NFL's top 100 list. Do with that what you will. We don't need to dive into it too much. I think it's an appropriately ranked rating for Jordan Love coming off last season. What I will say is if he's healthy this year, I will be stunned if he's not back in the top. I would even say, what was he, 38 last year, somewhere in that range, 34? I bet he's back in that range or even above that this upcoming season, assuming he's just able to stay healthy, which of course was a bit of an issue this past year in 2024. We'll be right back. All right, enough about all of that. Day one of Packers training camp. Again, the cadence for day one, Goody is talking at 9:20. Matt LaFleur is talking at 9:50. Camp is at 10:30. Now, if you're wondering, well, how long is day one going to last? Last year, day one of Packers training camp lasted 1 hour and 27 minutes. So just under an hour and a half. There were no live periods. Of course, there's not going to be any tackling. They're not going to be in pads. It will mostly be like a OTA or mini camp. All right. These are the ramp up periods. It's still going to be great to see them out at practice. It's still going to be amazing. The buzz will be there. It'll feel different than an OTA or minicamp just because there's going to be fans there as well. But don't expect a bunch of crazy team activity. There will be some team. They will do some of that. There will be some semi-competitive periods and things like that. But outside of that, not going to be the craziest practice that you've ever attended or heard of in Packers history. We'll put it that way. Of course, once practice is over, there will be locker room availability. So that will come back. They did not have locker room availability during OTAs or mini camps because the new locker room was being built, but that will come back for training camp practice day one. And I'm sure you'll see a bunch of, tweets out there and, newscasts of players being interviewed and things like that. So we'll hear from some players in the locker room immediately following day one of camp as well. One thing that I wanted to note is this comes up every single year. Of why are you not tweeting out videos of practice, or why are you not doing team activities, or what? Here's what you need to know for a tweeting standpoint from the media, and I'll go over the fans as well. Fans is probably easier first. So the fans are told what they can, they can take certain pictures of certain moments. They're not allowed to take video of camp. And they have multiple people patrolling the stands. And if there's any sign that you're taking video, they could either make you delete the videos. They could have you leave practice. They could kick you out. They could do a variety of different things. So they're monitoring it pretty closely in the stands for fans. From a media standpoint, remember that anyone that's on that sideline, from a media standpoint is a credentialed media member, that is credentialed by the Green Bay Packers. And if you break the rules, they can take that away. And nobody along that sideline wants to get their credential taken away because they are tweeting or taking video of something that they're not supposed to be doing. So what Green Bay does is you get to practice and they give you a roster if you want it. Usually I just use my phone. And then they give you a little tiny sheet of paper that says what you are allowed to shoot during practice. And what that says is usually the stretch or the warm-up, if we're able to see that. Usually in camp, we're not. They usually do that in the Hudson Center and then come out after that. And then on top of that, they give you which periods, again, that you can video, and that is usually just individual. And even during certain individual periods, they'll be like, you can't, there might be special team stuff that's being taken place at the same time. You can't take any video of that. Basically, if any remote sort of team activity is taking place, or there is a lineup of players, or there's anything like that, it's completely off limits. If there's anything special teams related, it is completely off limits. So that's why you see usually the same sort of canned videos of a running back going through the gauntlet drill or a receiver just catching a pass down the sidelines, you know, from a quarterback that's not like an actual live rep. Like they're just going through basically like warmups in those situations. You see a safety, the backpedaling and then coming up to catch the ball. You see a linebacker working on the, you know, tackling the donut or whatever. It's the same videos that you're basically seeing every year because those are the only periods that we are allowed to take videos of. Certain periods or certain position groups are easier to tape and video than others, which is why you see not as maybe as much as the defensive tackles or defensive ends because they're further away and so on and so forth. So you might be thinking, Andy, just use a burner account. Okay, sure. That, you know, if you wanted to post something, maybe that would work. But they also have PR, you know, monitoring the sidelines and making sure that nobody's doing anything. And again, nobody's going to risk, you know, losing it to take a, you know, a practice video or anything like that. So I would love to take every, like, let me just say this. Rather than me tweeting every little detail of everything, it'd be so much easier just to go this and record it. Play's done, boop, tweet. It would be so much easier. It would be so much better. People would like that a whole heck of a lot more. It doesn't work that way. So if you're wondering why anyone along the sidelines isn't tweeting team activities, even though other teams are doing it, that is why. You know, you are at risk of either getting kicked out of practice if you're on the fan sideline or losing your credential if you're on the media sideline. And I will just tell you wholeheartedly, I do not want to lose my credential. That would be a massive bummer. And I don't think anyone wants that either because you're going to lose all the live tweeting and you know, all the other stuff that goes along with that. So that is why you will not see anything you know, tweeted from a video standpoint other than pretty much some pretty lame individual drills and things like that. All right. Noteworthy that the Packers still have two transactions available. So they have two roster spots and they could add two more players. I would think that they would want those for day one of training camp, but it's not guaranteed. But there could be a couple players that we're maybe not expecting that gets finalized the day of, you know, day one of camp. And we'll see if there's any additional players out there, but they do still have two open roster spots available as we're recording this. All right. Things you should note. We've talked about a lot of these things all throughout the course of the offseason, but kind of going through them a little bit more lightning round here as we get set for day one of camp. Should be worth noting that there are three primary new coaches that are out there that you should be aware of that we'll be keeping an extra eye on as camp goes along. DeMarcus Covington, the new defensive line coach, which is really the one that's in the spotlight to try to get the most out of those four first round picks, LVN, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, and of course, all the other draft capital and money that they've put into those positions as well. He's going to have his hands full with trying to get the ROI that I think everyone's hoping for from that specific group. So DeMarcus Covington, new defensive line coach, Sean Mannion, new quarterbacks coach, Tom Clements, no longer there. Sean Mannion has the task of getting the absolute best out of the franchise quarterback, Jordan Love. We'll see how Sean Mannion performs in year one as Packers quarterbacks coach. And then Sean Duggan, taking over for Anthony Campanelli at linebackers coach. We saw Edgerrin Cooper, take a massive jump in his rookie season from beginning of the season to the end of the year. What we can't see is Edgerrin Cooper take any sort of step back. We saw Quay Walker play some of his best football midway through last year before suffering an injury. And we would love to see that version of Quay Walker again. They've got some interesting pieces in Isaiah Simmons and in Tyron Hopper that need to take, you know, that next step in their careers respectively. So this is a huge opportunity for him as well. So DeMarcus Covington, Sean Mannion, and Sean Duggan are the three new coaches that you want to kind of keep a little bit of an extra eye on and what their specific groups are doing throughout the course of training camp. As training camp opens and, you know, there's no pads on for, you know, first couple days of camp and things like that, don't expect any revelations or any major takeaways from either the offensive line or the defensive line. The same thing for edge rusher, et cetera. So when pads are not on, it's, again, it's not real up front. It's patty cake. There's rules of engagement. You can't bull rush. You can't do so. Just know that it's like OTAs and mini camps where you're not going to get a lot of takeaways until the pads come on. Once the pads come on, All right, then we start getting into a lot more fun stuff and you can start gauging the offensive line and defensive line a little bit better. So until that happens, don't expect a lot of updates on what Aaron Banks looks like or if that defensive line looks a lot better. And it just doesn't really matter until those pads come on. And really until we see it in regular season, even then that's going to be far more important. But we'll get a better look at it once the pads actually come on in training camp in a few days. What will be worth noting on the first couple days is first up attendance. We know who's on the physically unable to perform list to start. We know who's on the non-football injury list to start. Is there anyone else that's not practicing that's in the rehab group? Do any of those players pass their physical before day one of camp and are able to practice on Wednesday? So attendance will be taken and we'll keep an eye on everyone that is and isn't practicing. And then what do the lineups look like? Matt LaFleur will be the first to tell you that those lineups do not matter whatsoever. They don't, but they also do. And of course, we want to know who's lined up where and everything like that. So we'll be definitely keeping an extra eye on that. And then anything noteworthy, I'm sure there'll be maybe some 2-minute periods and some, you know, either red zone or other semi-competitive periods. And we'll be keeping a very close eye on those as well. Of course, we're going to be looking for some updates from Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst as well. Quay Walker and Elton Jenkins, probably the two big things that we need to find some stuff out about in some real way. To a lesser extent, maybe John Williams, which has been sort of an interesting journey for him. But Quay Walker, is this just contract related? Is it just injury related, or is there a contract related issue with Quay as well? And then of course, Elton, you know, where things stand, I doubt we're going to get much of an update. You know, is there actually an injury? Well, we'll see what we can find out about Elton, but I think Quay is the big one to see if there's any sort of real update there. If this is just again, injury, or if there's something a little bit more that's going on with Quay that's keeping him out of practice and on the PUP list to start training camp. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. And I'm sure there'll be some other key takeaways from Goody and Matt as well as they speak before day one of training camp, but going to be great to hear from them. And again, just get back in the full swing of things on Wednesday or today as you're getting, you're listening to this. Some new players that of course are going to be keeping an extra eye on early rookies like Matthew Golden, Anthony Belton, Savion Williams. Hopefully that red jersey is off of him. Baron Sorrell. I think all of those are going to be worth an extra eye. Warren Brinson probably would be in that category as well. Unfortunately, you know, you've got Colin Oliver, Micah Robinson, John Williams, those three rookies who are on, you know, injured lists and looks like they're not going to practice to start things off, but we'll definitely be keeping an eye on how those rookies progress throughout the course of training camp. Then of course, veterans as well, Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, McCole Hardman, Isaiah Simmons. We'll see if they pick up any other veterans. Again, they have those two roster spots still available, but those are going to be some key new faces that I'm sure everyone's going to be keeping an extra eye on throughout the course of training camp, but of course, especially on those first few days as well. We also have the start of some very interesting roster battles. QB3, Taylor Algersma versus Sean Clifford should be fun. The backup running back spot, and what I'm going to say here is Emmanuel Wilson versus Chris Brooks. Could both of those players make it? Absolutely, but there could only be one spot, and if there is, that battle is going to be a really fun one to watch. I want to see what those two look like throughout the course of camp. Ben Sims versus John Fitzpatrick. Not the sexiest matchup, not one that you're probably, you know, dying to get a ton of updates on, but that number three tight end spot is wide open and up for grabs. I'd put Messiah Swinson in that conversation as well. That feels like one that legitimately is there for the taking for anybody that's on that tight end depth chart. We know Kraft is going to make it. We know Musgrave is going to make it. That next spot, the world is everyone's oyster at that spot, and whoever wants to go up and grab it can definitely grab it, and we'll see if any of those guys step up in a significant way. We'll be right back. Wide receivers, like all over, right? So the wide receiver depth chart, you know, just meaning who, like how does it eventually sort of stack up? Target shares, like who ends up actually getting the most targets? I think just because maybe you're, you know, getting snaps and things like that doesn't necessarily mean you're targeted more. So I think the depth chart, who's getting more snaps, but who's also getting the most targets? Then the back of the roster, right? So that final spot, you could be looking at Bo Melton versus Malik Heath versus McCole Hardman for that number six wide receiver spot. That's going to be a ton of fun. And then even just like practice squad, right? Julian Hicks is a fun player. Cornelius Johnson's a fun player. Sam Brown Jr. They just added another wide receiver. So I think even those practice squad spots at wide receiver are going to be highly contested. And of course, if you know, Malik Heath or, you know, Bo Melton don't make it? Do you bring them back on the practice squad? So this wide receiver room, there is competition all over the freaking place. Of course, the Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Jordan Morgan battle, who starts at left tackle, who starts at right guard, and then do two other players get in that conversation? Does Jacob Monk get in the conversation? Even if Jenkins comes back at center, can Monk get in that battle at right guard? Anthony Belton, can he get in the battle either at left tackle or at right guard? I think those are really interesting conversations. Offensive line spots 8 through 10. Maybe they only keep 9, maybe they keep 10. But, you know, after your first 7, which feels pretty locked in at the moment in some, you know, roundabout way, you've got spots 8, 9, and 10 where you've got Travis Glover and Kadeem Telfort and John Williams eventually, Donovan Jennings, and we can go on, but there's going to be a lot of competition for those spots as well. Jacob Monk, that seems like another one who probably is at minimum number 8, but again, these are going to be very competitive situations along the offensive line and especially for those final 3 spots. I might be in the minority here. I still believe it. I think there's a potential Brenton Cox versus Kingsley Enagbare battle for potentially one spot. If Gary and LVN are your starters, Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver just make it by being draft picks, and you only want to keep 5 defensive ends, well, hello, you've got a battle between Kingsley Enagbare and Brenton Cox at that standpoint. Could they keep both? Absolutely. Could there be injuries that dictate other things? Absolutely. But if they do only keep 5 and everyone's healthy, you're probably looking at Brenton Cox versus Kingsley Enagbare for that final spot. Linebackers 3 through 6. So we know Quay Walker. We know Edgerrin Cooper. Like, those are going to be the 2 linebackers that play a ton. Who's your number 3? I'm assuming it's going to be McDuffie, but can Tyron Hopper get in that conversation? Can Isaiah Simmons get in that conversation? And then after that, who's 4? Who's 5? Christian Welch versus Jamon Johnson for that potential number 6 spot. There's a lot of fun competition at linebacker. That's also worth keeping an eye on. Cornerbacks. We know the top 3, right? Nixon, Hobbs, and Valentine. And then, of course, you've got Bullard being able to help out in the slot as well. But after that, those corner spots 4 through 6, again, totally up for grabs. Kalen King, Kamal Haddon, Micah Robinson once he gets back healthy. Does Gregory Jr. or one of these other corners, you know, Tyron Herring, can those guys get in the conversation? So those feel totally up for grabs. And not only that, but Green Bay needs a Kamal Haddon or a Kalen King or a Micah Robinson, one of those guys, to really step up and be available. If a corner goes down, they're clearly going to need at least one of those guys to step up throughout the course of the season. There's going to be injuries. So those specific battles feel extremely important throughout the course of this training camp. And then, you know, safety, Kitano Adapo versus Zane Anderson is probably an interesting battle, not for a roster spot, but who's kind of that number 4 safety. Is there a Bullard versus Evan Williams battle, or is it just go to Evan Williams by default? Can Omar Brown get in that conversation? There's some really fun and interesting battles there as well. So roster battles all across the depth chart, all throughout the position groups. It's going to be, I think, really fun to kind of keep an eye on all of those all throughout the course of camp. And again, starting today with day 1. Goes without saying, but all eyes are going to be on Jordan Love. If you want to make a run at this thing, if you want to be a special team, if you want to be a special franchise, you usually need a special quarterback. I think everyone believes, and I shouldn't say that, that's very not true, but there's a good portion of the fan base that believes that Jordan Love has that ability to be special. But the big question is consistency. Can he show it consistently throughout camp, preseason, if he actually gets time? But more importantly, when the lights are on in big moments throughout the course of the regular season. And I think that big thing too is, you know, last year he kind of had that identity crisis of, am I a gunslinger or am I going to take really good care of the ball? When he was a gunslinger, he was making big plays, but he was also throwing picks. When he was taking care of the ball, he wasn't throwing picks, but he wasn't making those big plays as often. He's got to find that sweet spot. We saw that sweet spot at the end of 2023. We need to see it more consistently in 2025. But again, it goes without saying, all eyes will be on Jordan Love. And if there's another player that you're sort of keeping an extra eye on, not only on the field, but maybe off to the side, it's Christian Watson. What does his progress look like? Is there any chance that he could be ready? You know, I don't think week 1. I think that's, I would think, out of the question. I'm not going to rule anything out, but that seems super aggressive. I'm still assuming like midway through the season at some point, but if he could be available week 6, like, that would be incredible. And just kind of what his, you know, rehab looks like. And it's already been noted by Matt LaFleur that he has been ahead of schedule. Is that still the case as well? So just to get an extra eye on Christian Watson throughout camp. Of course, there's been a whole bunch of different themes that have come up as well. Pressure. you know, what can Green Bay do with their front four? We talked about that with DeMarcus Covington as well. They need to be able to get pressure with their front four. Hasn't been consistent enough. That's going to be a key theme. Drops on offense. There were drops galore and receiver error galore in 2024. That cannot happen again. Those guys have to be way more consistent. There needs to be a step up from that group. What does that look like? Urgency. We heard it from Brian Gutekunst right at the start of the offseason, at the end of last season, right? There needs to be a level of urgency. Do we see that? Do we feel that? Is it tangible? Can they kick off the season with the win against Detroit? Like, all of these things are really, really interesting, and I want to see how that call for urgency kind of plays out throughout the course of camp and going into the start of the season. And then the last one is development. This is a team that's supposed to be a draft and develop. There was too much stagnation and taking a step back in 2024. There needs to be progress and growth in 2025. And again, like Brian Gutekunst said, that sense of urgency, it's time to start winning championships. I want to see legitimate growth from these players. It can't just be, yeah, well, you know, Edrian Cooper took a small step back, or, you know, whatever. Like, we need to see guys take that step, you know, average players to good players to great players to star players. We need to see that throughout the roster. It can't just be like, yeah, everyone kind of looks good. They look the same, or there's a couple guys that took a step back, maybe one guy that took a step forward. Can't be like last year. Has to be much more consistent, and we need to see that growth in really what I consider like year three of the Jordan Love era at this point. Of course, we're going to be keeping a close eye on injuries. You're just praying and hoping that you can get through camp and preseason with as few injuries as possible. We know that you need some injury luck throughout the course of the season, and that the entirety of training camp and the season is a war of attrition. So hopefully we don't see many injuries and just players that are out to begin camp. And then hopefully we don't see those injuries throughout the course of training camp, preseason, the regular season, or beyond. Just turn the injury slider off. That'd be great. But of course, we'll be monitoring that as well. I always say, pause and take a moment. Take your eye off of the 90 players that are out there and trying to keep an eye on everything, and enjoy some of the really great players out there. I know I'm going to try to keep an extra eye on Xavier McKinney, like the Bakhtiaris, the Devontae Adams, the Jair Alexanders, the Aaron Rodgers, the best of the best in their prime. It's worth it to just take some time at some of the practices and just really enjoy the greatness that some of these players have. So I know for me personally, like I said, I'm going to be taking a little bit of time to really enjoy Xavier McKinney, how he goes about practice, and how he continues to become a better player, you know, practice after practice, game after game, year over year. That's just his progression. That's just his growth. That's just his mindset. And I want to take an extra, you know, moment or two to just appreciate, you know, what he can do out on a football field. So I'll certainly be doing that as well. That day one energy is going to be epic. It's going to be amazing. Again, probably only about an hour and a half practice, but there's something magical about the first day of training camp. I cannot wait to get out there. If you have the ability to get out to training camp, whether it's on day one, day eight, day 12, whatever it might be, get out there. It's always fun. It's always amazing. I cannot emphasize it enough. Get there early so you can get a good seat. Bring water, bring sunscreen. Cannot stress those things enough as well. And definitely get out there, support the Packers, and just enjoy your time out there. Even if you're not I'm assuming if you're here, you're a Packers fan, right? But like, even if you're not a Packers fan, just going out and seeing NFL football players go out and you know, practice and get better, and it's a spectacle to watch. So if you got the opportunity to do so, definitely take the time and get out there and enjoy training camp, because like I said, it's a rite of passage this time of year. It's incredible to get out there and watch these guys perform, and it's something I certainly enjoy every single time in July and August. It's a beautiful thing, and I'm so excited to be out there for day one. As mentioned, as soon as practice is done on Wednesday and every other day following, I'm going to be heading home immediately, putting some notes together, and immediately going live to get you all the information that you need. Of course, I'll be breaking everything as I see it on Twitter as well, so you can keep an eye on all the updates over there at Andy Herman NFL. Make sure you're, again, following the Packaday podcast, making sure that those notifications are on, making sure that you are getting those downloads on the audio podcast, because there's going to be a ton of content coming your way in the very, very, very near future. Day one is upon us. Enjoy the hell out of it. I, for one, cannot wait. I know you guys can't wait either. I'm so excited to talk to you guys right around 1 p.m. Central Time, breaking down everything that happened on day one. I will see you guys there. Enjoy the day. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Matt Geiger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griffin Blee. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.